Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Baseball isn't boring with Brad Lowe on WEEI.
All right, welcome back to Baseball isn't Boring show. On with you for another hour, all the way up to the pregame show with Joe Vile slash Wile. I don't feel comfortable saying that anymore. I know that it was trending because of the trend, and Joe Vile said we could call him Joe Vile. It was a misprint in the trend. I'm just gonna call him Joe Vile because he's the opposite of Vile. But maybe it's calling it like a ball guy curly. I don't know. Who knows?
I was thinking like Vile, like you were pronouncing it like it was a German last name, not like with a V.
Yeah, that's the reach.
Joe Vile.
You know what? I was thinking it was.
Hold on. Take some salsa. That was terrible.
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Take like more than Gordo took.
Ich liebe right. dich.
Yeah.
Joe Vile.
All right. Hold on. Some good video. Okay. All right. Go ahead. So Sammy paying the price for not bringing the A game in that just recent sentence that he just uttered. Go ahead.
For shaming Joe Vile.
All right. Go ahead. That a boy. See
that's okay. That's a big.
There you go. All right. That a boy. Oh, he's taking
two?
A second spoonful.
Oh.
He's just showing off in front of his lady.
This is just a Tuesday night for him, honestly.
The amount of tomato in his mouth.
Oh, how
right
is
now.
It? Ugh. Is good?
It is very spicy, but it is good.
All right, okay. All right. Well, see, I didn't mean to reward you for your lack of excellence.
You rewarded
How could I punish you?
Trying not to chew on the mic, but yeah, it's good.
All right, okay. Let's go to Terry in Pennsylvania. Hey, Terry, what's happening?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to let you know, I've been growing jalapenos for years. There's a heat index that's called a Scoville heat value. Jalapenos are like 8,000. Ghost peppers are in the range from 855,000 to 1,000,000.
Ooh!
It makes it one of the top five hottest peppers in the world.
What is the hottest pepper, Terry? It's
Carolina?
From what I understand, it's the Carolina Ghost Reaper.
All right.
Those are great.
Can we get one of those in before the end of the show? I mean, like, Terry, babe.
That would be awesome if you guys would do that.
Yeah, well, have you ever experienced the Carolina, what is it?
Carolina Ghost
Reaper. Ghost Reaper?
Wait, what did you say was the level of that?
Well, for the ghost pepper, it's between 855,000 and 1 million the Scoville units.
So I'm looking at this.
And Carolina Reaper is even hotter than that.
I'm looking at a pepper right now. It's called Pepper X with an average heat level of 2.693 million.
So, Gordo, Pepper X is relatively new. It was made to be the spiciest pepper, but it's not natural.
Oh, it's like a lab-created pepper?
That doesn't count.
They just created that over the past year.
Yeah, Terry in Pennsylvania is offended by that. He's all natural when it comes to the peppers. Right, Terry? Correct?
Yeah.
What is it?
Give me jalapenos. Give me natural food.
All right.
Natural hot peppers. That's all I need.
Well, Gordo's got another question for you.
No, I found the Carolina Reaper.
Sure.
Averages 1.64 million. Wow. SHU. What does that stand
Scoville
for?
Units.
Scoville. I mean, everyone knows a Scoville.
It's the obvious. Scoville units. Yep. 1.64 million.
Terry, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your expertise. This is why I love this show. Because we're here to educate, inform, entertain, and offer insight.
Yeah,
all of that.
So Pepper X is ridiculous. I've tried it.
Yeah.
I tried it in the hot sauce that the guy, I forget the guy's name. He's a famous hot sauce maker, but he made this hot sauce with Pepper X. It's ridiculous. You can't even eat it.
All right. So speaking of spicy things, I got some spicy news coming emanating from Red Sox land down in Tampa. Alex Cora met with the media, and he said that Willy Abreu will be activated tomorrow, which probably means that Willy Abreu will play tomorrow, which means that that is a step in the right direction for the Red Sox. Because, fellas, one of the things about Willy Abreu I think people sleep on, everybody focuses so much on Roman Anthony, as they should, but when we talk about get on my back, boys, type of games, Willy Abreu has had more of those. If there's a stat in an analytic to actually measure the get on my back, boy, games, Willy Abreu leads a team. Correct?
Yeah, he's got wide shoulders.
And he can do it for weeks on end, too. Like, remember that stretch at the beginning of the season? Like, starting with that Rangers opening day with two home runs. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Just keep that calf intact. Call up Mike Avilas. Find out how you keep an enormous calf intact. Get it done. That's big news. That's big news. All right, let's go to Joe in Lincoln. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, good. I don't have any great claim to fame like your other callers, except that I've listened since the days of Eddie Andelman, and this is such a nice regression to people actually talking about people playing instead of the future. But so let me tell you, do I think the Red Sox are going to make the playoffs? Probably not. But I also remember after Game 3 of the 2004. You know, playoffs, when I just watched the game because I had to as a Sox fan. And that's what I'm doing this year. As far as I'm concerned, until they're mathematically eliminated, they've earned the right. This team has earned the right for me to watch them and follow them every pitch.
I love that, Joe. I love it. You know, it's like, and that's the thing. And we've had callers call up before, or so, who was it, Tony in Bridgewater, said, listen, what are we doing? What are we doing? You said you just want to have the conversation in September. And Joe, the thing is that this conversation isn't about all your two games back and maybe you might be able to catch a team if you play well. You're in the playoffs right now. You just came off a game where you won. You scored 11 runs.
And it's even more than that. I've had enough championships. I want a good story. That game when they won with a bunt and then a little dribbler to the second baseman and Nate Eaton slides head first, that's going to be in my mind for a long, long time. That's worth so much. And, you know, I like to think that that's why we watch sports, for those wonderful moments. Not because it's a championship every year. It's because it's not going to happen. But I think the other people who were calling in, too, we're fans. Yeah. Stupid as it seems.
Yeah,
why are we rooting for these guys that we can't even control at all? But we do. We get upset when they lose. We're thrilled when they win.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for the call. And, you know, when Joe is talking, you know, I am thinking of Red Sox Jesus Last Chad. Like, I honestly am. About the fandom that he, like, that guy is, that he brings, of the emotion. And you guys as well, obviously. And so when we get to, we're talking about postseason and collapses and everything else. But what this is setting up for, if nothing else, is that these three games on the weekend at Fenway Park will mean something where the crowd can enact their will on a baseball game. That's what it is, right?
Right, and Fenway's one of the best places, if not the best place for the fans to enact their
will. It wasn't that way in that Oakland series. It wasn't. Two of the three games, there were lame crowds, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's what I said earlier.
Because they were lame games.
It's fear,
though.
You got
to give them an opportunity.
It's right. The fear. That's like the wild card game, the Red Sox-Yankees wild card game. It was dead silent the top of the first. Then they get out of it. Now they're in the bottom. They score. The place was loud for the entire night.
Right, from the jump. From the jump, you had the lead. You didn't lose it. It was a game. Like, yes, the game felt in hand, but when you watch a playoff game and you see a team with like a 3-run lead, for whatever reason, it just feels like it's in hand, whether you're winning or losing. But in that spot, like, the Red Sox fans they controlled the game. They controlled the game from the jump. Xander put them on top, and from that point forward.
They also had an assist from the Yankees fans who were super confident coming in, who are also talking smack to the Red Sox fans who are not confident, and that tide, quickly changed, and that just made for the best baseball environment.
The biggest to date of this season, the biggest explosion of emotion that you've had, just besides like walk-offs, besides end-of-game outcomes, it was when Garrett Whitlock walked off the mound. Who'd he struck out? Trent Grissom. When Garrett Whitlock walked off the mound, there was this, I think it was a full count. It was a game they scored 6 runs. The Yankees are coming back, and, you know, and they send up Trent Grisham to pinch hit. And full count, 2 outs. If he walks him, it's going to be, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And he strikes him out. And it was like this silence and then emotion and then explosion. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And that was, I don't know, science and math and calendars would suggest that was in September. That's what you're looking for. You want those moments. That does not happen the last 3 years, no matter how big a moment it is.
Right, and I like what our caller Joe said. They have earned the right for the fans to continue watching, and they haven't done that the last 2 years. They got close in 2024, but this year, I mean, if you're not watching the Red Sox tonight, are you really a fan of the team? If you're free and available to watch the game, like, how could you miss this?
All
right. This is what we live for.
Casper in Worcester. What's going on, Casper?
Rob, I called in and spoke with you 2 Yankee series ago, and you started describing the fandom of New England and Northern New England regarding listening to the game, not watching the game. And I remember that vividly, and it's a total different experience. It really is. It's different listening to it. You can do certain things. I mean, watching it is obviously great, but I don't know if you remember that conversation.
Yeah, of course I do.
I connected to it heavily, and it's a complete different experience. Now, regarding emotion, I normally call into Arc Show. Christian emitted emotion at the beginning of his post game last night that was off the charts. It was like one of us were on EEI. The emotion that he stated and everything else, and I said it to him. He chuckled a little bit, and then I made a comment that it was 2 wins, that we didn't have to use Chapman, and then I let him go because late at night he has limited time. But it's really, really true. If you heard Christian's opening segment and his intro, it was like talking to one of us. Like, I'm a civilian. Do you know what I mean? Mm. You're in the business. And he senses it and he projects it. He's precious, believe. He's precious. And it made me smile and laugh. And he chuckles when I said it. And I just did want to say this to you about how you described the radio in New England 2 Yankee series ago. And it's a total different experience. And I think I do it voluntarily sometimes, because sometimes I'm moving around. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't have to keep my eyes fixed here.
No, and Casper, thank you for the nice words, and thank you for the call. And you should do it voluntarily every single game. But it's you're right. I mean, I love when I get a chance to listen. I love the anticipation and the buildup of Will Fleming's voice of when there's a big moment, and because you have to rely on his words, you have to rely on his tone of what's going on, and then you're like, and he's saying what? He's saying what? He's saying what? And then I was thrilled to get a chance to sit next to Cooper Boardman and take the video of him when he had the Jaron Duran inside the park home run, And anybody who wants to understand what a broadcaster, what a real broadcaster goes through, watch that video. And I told Cooper this, is that this is the best compliment that anyone can give you. Because you watch that, and there is nothing phony about it. There's nothing scripted about it. He is coming out of his skin and reacting to Jaron Duran running around the bases. And whether it's that, whether it's Will, whether it's Christian Arcan after the game, whether it's you guys. I mean, one of the things that it makes you guys so great, which I live vicariously through you, because I'm just worrying about time of game and good storylines and shutting off the ice cream machine in the third inning. But you guys are living and dying with this stuff, and we're reminded of that. So, like, I'm glad that he called in. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to trend in a second. But before we do, Jonathan in Maine. Hey, Jonathan, what's going on?
Hey, I'll be quick. Love the show. I grew up a casual, very, very casual Red Sox fan, you know, diehard Celtics and Patriots. But this year, because of two things, my son plays baseball, and so during Little League, you know, we're all in, and I love the game. And two, I have an interesting connection to Gordo, and so ever since I knew he was involved with Baseball Isn't Boring, or Play Tessie at first, and all the stuff that he does with the radio station, which is awesome, by the way, those two things combined made me be much more of a fan than I usually would this year. And I took my 12-year-old to his first Sox games. I have four kids, so I can't afford taking everyone. So I took him on the 15th. It was a 1-0 win on July 15th. It was awesome. Yeah, you guys are really, I mean, you guys and how you talk about baseball, because let's be honest, you guys are all like baseball nerds. I'd picture Gordo, like, you know, with his filling out the scorebook and at every game, like
Jonathan,
like
my grandfather. Jonathan, let me just tell you, I'm going to tell this story again, okay? And I appreciate your kind words.
Yep.
We went to Gordo's wedding about a year ago, okay? And and it was a great, unbelievable wedding. I mean, the oysters were off the charts. And so, but in the had, I was like, when's the dancing start? But it didn't start. It didn't start till 10. It didn't start till 11, whatever it was. Aww. But that was okay.
It gets later
but that
every
was
time
okay.
he tells the story. It didn't start till
because
2.
Because, Jonathan, there was literally 10 stories, people getting up. You know how everyone gets up and says nice things?
Oh, yeah.
Everything was related to Gordo's fandom with the Red Sox, which was awesome. Which there was nothing. And this is what we ask, right? We ask that people aren't phonies. We ask that people aren't just making stuff up, making up their enthusiasm. And I can tell you with these
genuine,
guys.
As they come.
All these guys are. Yeah, all these guys are.
I got a good one for you. Matt actually followed my career for a little while, and he interned everywhere I was working. He was interning, like, after I left. Or one time he interned while I was working at an organization. And we talked about walk-up songs, which I believe is as a casual baseball fan, the best thing about baseball are walk-up songs and the personality that baseball allows the players to show and stuff. And so I remember what Gordo said his was, and it was a horrible, horrible choice. Is it the same thing, Gordo, without saying it?
I it should be. If you pull this, I will be very impressed. Sammy will verify it.
I just want a T-shirt, and I get blessed by – I have I'm friends with somebody in the group sales department. I finally asked, took his offer this year, but you don't even have to get me tickets. Just a T-shirt. If it is I come from a land down under.
Yeah, you got it. Let's go.
We're
gonna
get you, that's impressive.
We're going to get you a T-shirt.
That is impressive.
Make sure you DM these guys, all right? Contact these guys, Jonathan.
All right.
All right.
Hope all's well, man.
All right, we're way late, and we get all these calls lined up. A great conversation. I think that, you know, the biggest thing that we can give the world, the Red Sox world, from this show, and I think everyone in this room will agree, is that we feel a lot bit better about the vibes of the entire existence that you're living in right now. Correct?
Oh yeah.
Yes. All right.
Always do after the show.
Well, even if you don't, then if you said no, I was going to make you eat salsa. Anyway, to continue the good vibes. It's once again, 3 for 3. Here you go. The newly hired designated trender, Kylie.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Boston Red Sox are looking to make it 2 wins in a row following last night's 11-7 win over the Rays as they're back at it tonight with first pitch at 7:05, with Kyle Harrison on the bump for the Sox. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will be on the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's. Go shopping. Get rewarded. Joe Weil will get you started with the Mass Mutual pregame show starting at 6:05. The Red Sox currently sit at 1.5 games ahead of the Guardians for the final wild card spot in the AL. Cleveland is on their way to wrapping up a win in Minnesota in the first game of their doubleheader against the Twins. The Patriots will kick off their Week 3 matchup against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and they will be without their star cornerback Christian Gonzalez. You can get ready for the game starting at 10 o'clock right here on WEEI with the Patriots Football Sunday Show with Arcand, Mego, Sheem, and Ted Johnson.
Stop.
I think I've said that name three different ways.
No, but that was incorrect. So take the spoonful of salsa.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. punnet.
Do a big one.
Penance,
a big one.
Ghost pepper, salsa. What do you think?
I'm with Gordo. It's not that spicy.
Oh, well, all right. Then continue your trend. All go ahead.
We got a big... there's a pepper in my tooth. Figure it out. Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels are visiting the UCF Knights and currently trail 13-3. The New England Revolution lost 1-0 to Philadelphia this afternoon and remain as the 11th seed in the Eastern Conference. I'm Kylie with a sweaty upper lip, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. It's hitting me now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
Baseball isn't boring with Bradfoe.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Welcome back to Baseball's Boring. Rob Bradford, along with the guys from Play Tessie, Gordo and Sammy. Kylie, excellent job with trending once again. A-game. And the thing was, is that what people don't know is that it sounded like the ghost pepper salsa didn't impact your trending, Kylie, but it actually did. You just powered through it. You were a pro.
I am a pro. Thank you.
I mean, it's...
Seasoned vet.
It's hitting me now.
Now? Really? All right. Well, I mean, this isn't a joke. This is ghost pepper salsa, and I think that we've made everybody a little bit better today.
I'm Kylie with a sweaty upper lip.
There you go. Put it on the reel. All right. 617-779-7937. We'd be talking about all different things, especially with the vibes when it comes to the Red Sox. Let's go back to the phone lines. Russ in Connecticut. Hey, Russ, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Rob?
Good, good.
That sauce, shouldn't that be a McFarland sauce?
Oh, well, McFarland helped pay for it. So yes, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
it.
But yeah. It's a good point, though. If you do get too hot from eating the ghost pepper salsa, there's only one HVAC place to turn to, and that's McFarland.
Well, that's what I was trying to say.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say, if I go back to the DNC program years ago with a meter behind the glass, okay, and fast forward to the Big O, the Weiner line, and two people that I think about often is Frank from Gloucester and the Cranky Yankee. And I just want to say that appointment listening always to Joe, to Will, to Lou, to Sean, and the anticipation is off the charts. I love it. I never miss a game, always on the radio. And I enjoy your shows too, every day. If I hear you coming on, I'm there, Rob. So,
Russ,
thanks for all you do, sir.
Yeah, man, Russ, thank you for the call. Man, this is a lot of feel good moments today. Really appreciate it. But
love fest.
Yeah, well, but it's this is true. I mean, when we talk about if you sit back and I know that we have a dog in the fight here with when it comes to the radio being the games being broadcast on our station. But if you think about it, if you think about the anticipation of a play or of game, of all of it, how awesome is it? I think that people miss that point. And which I think it's next level. It's just next level. If you sit there and you just don't get lazy. Don't just rely on the images. It's all right if you watch it once in a while. But all I'm saying is that the callers who've called in today, they speak the truth.
Oh, it's the best. When it's like a nice sunny day, I throw in my headphones, put on Will and Will or whoever's calling the broadcast, and I just run in circles.
Yeah.
Use my imagination.
And you know what's really awesome? When I'm describing big number 97 coming in for the Minnesota Twins on March 17th in Fort Myers.
I do that too.
Yeah. Here he comes.
Unless I'm there.
The ABS system? Oh, man, I love that. I loved it.
Let's broadcast some baseball.
Harry in Jefferson. Hey, Harry, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for the time. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Christian Campbell. And, you know, I've been, you know, longtime fan. I've been really excited to watch what Breslow's been able to do with the organization. And, you know, I think to me, like, he's done a great job of putting a balance between putting a competitive team out there as well as investing in the farm system. You know, I was listening to the caller maybe 20 minutes ago about talking about Alex Cora. And, you know, of course, from a game management standpoint, it seems like he's doing a great job. But I look at what's happening with some of these contracts that Breslow's given out to Rafaela and to Campbell. Like, they're great contracts. These guys are going to be great. And then I watch Cora just absolutely mismanage what these guys are out there doing. You got Christian Campbell out there. He's been in pro ball for 12 months. They're having him play three different types of positions. I just don't understand what they're doing when watching these guys go in there. We have a talent deficit right now. You know, it'd be great if these guys make an awesome run, but shouldn't we be watching these guys like Christian Campbell and Rafaela right now, you know, play their positions, really learn, get in touch with what they should be doing in Major League Ball and start feeling really comfortable out there? And I watch Christian Campbell a lot in AAA and Worcester, and, yeah, the kid's a Major League Ball player. Like, there's no question in my mind. And it's just frustrating to me watching what they're putting out on the team with Sogard out there right now, and you're just like, what are they doing with Christian Campbell? And Rafaela, I think, is not – too far behind. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, Harry, thanks for the call. You know, I think that one of the things when it comes to comparing him to Sogard, they say, why is Sogard here? What's going on with Rafaela? It's simply where do you hit, what side of the plate you're hitting from. I mean, it's if he hit from the left side of the plate, I think it'd be different, right? But at the same time, it is interesting how they've taken this approach to these guys, whether it's Christian Campbell or the guy who's pitching today, Kyle Harrison. Where there says we're gonna get you in, we're gonna work with you, and even Roman Anthony, I had an interview that dropped this morning on the Baseball Isn't Boring feed with Chad Tracy. I really enjoy talking with him because I'm like, this is the most unique season that a AAA manager has had in a long, long time. Think about this, guys, about how you had these top prospects. Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, you had them get them ready. Everyone thought you should have called up. What were you doing to help Roman Anthony get called up? And then when they get called up, they're really good. And then we're talking about the pitchers, Toley and Early. What are you doing? What made you feel like they were ready? And what was the processes that went into getting them ready? And conversely, what happened when Christian Campbell, who was unbelievable, he had six home runs. When I was talking to him yesterday after we had this interview, and I'm actually going to – we're going to play that interview in the pregame show for the two-minute grill, McFarland two-minute grill. So we'll play that Christian Campbell. So hang on, Joe Wiles pregame show. They listened to my conversation with Christian Campbell. But one of the things they said, how many home runs did you have in April? He's like, six. I'm like, six? That was before last night, that was like three shy of their entire total for the month. And so that's how good he was. And then conversely, he was that bad the following month. So what did they do? Why aren't they calling him up? All of that. What I'm saying is that I find it fascinating, this laboratory that they've made Worcester. I think it's more of a laboratory than it has been probably in any other year the Red Sox have had a Triple A team. I don't think there was a laboratory in Pawtucket, put it that way.
No, we just had Rizne Castillo.
Yeah, Rizne Castillo never went through any lab.
Oh, just no. Wait till he comes up.
Yeah. Can we talk about the position thing for a second?
Yes,
though?
We may.
The caller brought that up, and I think it's a good point to talk about because, yeah, Christian Campbell, both him and Rafaela, should be playing, in my opinion, until they find their footing at the plate one position. That said, Sadon Rafaela struggles in the second half. As much as even before the struggle started, like, we talked about him going to second base, and I remember we were sitting on this radio show, and I said, I think it could mess up his routine. I think it could change what we're seeing at the plate.
Who's this, Campbell or Rafaela?
This is Rafaela.
Yeah, yeah.
And that said, even though like I made that point, the position change, him playing second base is not why he struggled so mightily at the plate. Christian Campbell, I agree, he should be playing, in my opinion, just second base right now. But Just second base right now.
No, anywhere but second base.
Well, that said, it's not him moving around the outfield not the reason that he...
No, but we can all agree the mismanagement of Christian Campbell in that month, in the month of May, all the way till when he was sent down was 100%. Bizarre.
Yes.
It was bizarre. Yeah. I don't think...
And but they, is it the reason he was one of the worst in the league?
It didn't help.
It definitely didn't help.
I mean, the fact that he was this kid, and we all know, like, it's different. Marcelo Meyer came in, and he was basically doing the walk-off throws to first out of the gate. In other words, he's uber confident, mm-hmm. right? Defensively, anyway, he played with an unbelievable level of confidence. He could have moved to the moon. It wouldn't make a difference in terms of like how that was going to impact him.
Yeah.
He's just a confident guy. Christian Campbell isn't that way. We've been around Christian Campbell. He's a really, really nice kid who had a ton of success early on. But I think that that personality didn't lead to, hey, you know what? It's just rolling off his back that he's playing second, that he's playing outfield, and then, by the way, go learn first base.
Right. It was not that he's not willing to do it, because no, obviously he is.
That,
but
that was the point. The way that Devers thing came out. It's like, right? I mean, they asked him to play first base. Okay, I'll play first base. It wasn't anything more complicated, and there wasn't any riff between Devers and Christian Campbell because of it.
No, and we asked Campbell about that. He said no riff. That was... Not a real story.
Yeah. That's all you got? Eat some salsa.
Well, I remember when Campbell, the first time, I was going to add, when Campbell got moved to center field the first time, Gordo and I were at the game. It was a very cold day. And remember, Campbell came out with a big glove, and we asked him, are you playing outfield? And he kind of went, yeah. And we said, where? And he looked down for a second, and he went, center field. And we were all kind of like, huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. It was just out of nowhere. And apparently, and then Cora says it's because Campbell feels more comfortable in center field.
Yeah.
It's just been a strange way to manage him.
Yeah. So
little by little, adding more and more to his play as he struggles more and more.
But the question is, so now that you've gone through the lab down in Worcester, and now that he's had, you know, a fair amount of success down there, ultimately, is he part of the solution if it goes sideways, which it didn't last night, but if it goes sideways, you have to find solutions, like much like Peyton Tolley going to the bullpen. You find solutions with what you have. But is that a solution? That's the problem. I don't think, to be perfectly honest with you guys, I don't think this is the same situation as Conley Early, Peyton Tolley, whoever, Kyle Harrison. It's not. I think they're very wary of what would happen if you bring up Christian Campbell and they start pounding him inside over and over and over again.
Yeah, I would be very, very wary of that. I hate doing this, but a lot of Campbell's success in AAA recently has been he's not hammering the ball. He has had his moments where he's hit his home runs, but there's a lot of soft contact hits just plopping it into right field, and I don't know if it'll translate to the big leagues the second time. Right now, eventually, I have all the faith in the world, eventually he'll be a big leaguer. But 2025, I think just roll with what you got.
There's also less of a need for it. Like Peyton Tolley and Connolly Early in the rotation, Kyle Harrison.
It's not apples to apples.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially the side of the plate he hits from.
Right, but if they straight up did not, like in the way that the rotation did not have a 4 and a 5 starter, if they just did not have a guy that could play second base or a player that could play left,
something happened to Romy Gonzalez, okay?
You could call him up.
Right, but I don't even think they would.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't think they'd call up instead.
You'd be sacrificing so much. I would just go with Sogard and Hamilton.
Yeah, okay,
that's what I'm saying is those guys have been able to come up. I'm saying if you had a glaring hole and you didn't have a Sogard or a Hamilton ready to go, I don't think they would have a problem calling up Campbell. But I just think that right now the upside with where he is isn't worth the potential that, yeah, like you bust him inside, and now it's like, did all the work I just put into AAA go to waste?
We got to take a break, but a couple of things I want to get to after the break is, number one is I just looked up the Cleveland Guardians numbers over the last 15 games. By the way, they're 14-1. That's one of the numbers. they won today, and they're playing again tonight, but it's insane. I think it deserves to be surfaced. But another thing is we talk about Alex Cora and whether or not he's doing a good job, and this relates to Christian Campbell, about how the challenges that Alex Cora is facing heading into this last week of the season, which isn't necessarily a great thing. And just bear with me, because this is what he's facing this last week of the season is a lot of the same stuff which he faced in the first two months of the season. And spoiler alert, that is uncertainty about exactly what you have. I want to talk about that after the break. But first, we're going to do this.
Yeah, like you bust them inside, and now it's like, did all the work.
The Red Sox Station. WEEI.
New England Sports Original.
Original.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
And a swing and a miss. He got him. And in the end, the ball game is over. A little stressful for Murphy, but that will not matter. A critical win for the Red Sox. The Rays are eliminated, but that is not the story tonight. Duran's swing, a hot bat from Sadon, a battling start from Crochet. And Alex Bregman hit a massive home run. All right, there you go. Will Fleming on the call. What a game. See if they can continue that momentum. I know that we did our part in helping continue the momentum. This Baseball Isn't Boring show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo and Sammy of Play Tessie.
Do you agree with the song, Rob? Too little, too late.
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh. A little too, Rob.
I don't think he got it.
Can you do me a favor, Brian? You've done an excellent job. You've eaten hot salsa for us. You've handed over the trend. You've written great trends. You've done it all. You've had great drops. You've maneuvered the calls.
I sense a butt coming.
But I like you personally.
Oh, no.
But can you play Ace of Spades once?
So Tom was in here. He told me last time he was with you, he played it four times. And he was like, Rob loves this song. I was like, Jesus, four times?
If we're not, four is the minimum. Is that four? You haven't played it once? We haven't played it once.
Who sings the last song, Little Too Late?
JoJo?
Yeah.
I don't think that's up Rob's alley.
Here's the thing. It's not
doesn't
too,
feel like
it's
it not, is.
What are you talking about? I was.
It's a good song.
I went to a concert with these guys just the other day. Didn't I?
Who'd you see?
Flo Rida.
Oh, yeah, and Flava Flav.
Yeah, we just were at a concert together.
And now you know it's going down.
We know it's going down for real.
Yeah.
It's going down for real.
And there ain't no party like a baseball party.
You know that?
Do I have to take another bite of salsa for not playing Ace of Spades?
Yes. Okay. No. You can make up for your transgression by actually playing Ace of Spades. All right.
That'll be our outro.
No, whatever. Just play it at some point.
That's
please.
A buzzer beater right there.
Any point. I could be in the middle of a sentence. I don't care. Play in the background of the entire last 9 minutes. I don't care. All right. Here we go. I promised them two things, this conversation. First, I want to cite, everyone's like, how are the Cleveland Guardians possibly in this thing? How are they right now sitting one game back of the Red Sox? How is that possible? Last 15 games, fellas, the starting pitchers for the Cleveland Guardians have a 1.32 ERA.
What?
And have individual record of 9-0.
1.32. How many games is that? 15?
15. A 525 OPS against, a 191 batting average against. And you like that? Well, let me give you the reliever stats. All right. Last 15 games, 156 ERA, 148 batting average against, 446 OPS against. That, like.
They don't let in runs.
That is nuts.
That's like what Loomer says. It gets contagious.
Well, it's more than contagious.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a downright fever dream.
Spin zone, the law of averages would say they can't continue this.
But that's
not a
thing.
Lot of time left, though.
But that's the thing. Is that I keep saying that. I'm like, how could they possibly keep 14-1 in the last 15 games? But the one thing in baseball that allows you to continue things like this is when you have that insanely good pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a fluke.
But it's strange because their guys aren't names that really wow you on paper. That's why I'm thinking. I've been saying this for a few days, though, so I could be wrong.
Can you name, at risk of not of taking an entire cup of salsa?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Can you name four pitchers on the Guardians?
Bibee, Messick, Classe, but he's out.
No, it doesn't count.
All right, but that Smith. Speaks to how impressive this is. The fact that
don't give him a break. He's
okay. On. Okay,
Smith. And give me one more. Just face these guys. What's it? The big guy with the beard comes out of the bullpen, throws gas.
Salsa.
Hunter. Gattis.
Too late.
I'll take the salsa.
Salsa.
Anyway.
Delicious.
Just name four, though.
All right. My point is that everyone, we're here to educate. And what we're doing is educating why the Red Sox are stressing out about the Cleveland Guardians because of exactly that. Mm-hmm. All right. Did we educate?
Educated.
All right. So a little bit another round of education is when Alex Cora, we haven't really talked about the whole Alex Cora versus Craig Breslow, you know, who's to blame, blah, blah, blah conversation, which is fine. But I have said this with Alex Cora the first 2 months when everyone wanted to fire him, said he wasn't doing a good job. I said one of the biggest reasons was because he had no handle on his team. He had no handle on who should go where, what pieces fit where, whatever. And that is when you get into bad scenarios, whether it's a bullpen, starters, lineups, whatever it is. And that's what he faces this last week, guys. You're facing the same sort of thing. Who is going to go where? We've already seen it. When to bring in Greg Weissert? Well, it's not when he did. When to bring in Zach Kelly? How far should you go with Conley early? How far should you go with Kyle Harrison? How you should use Peyton Tolley? Like all of that, how good is Willy Abreu? What? Who should lead off? How much should you rely on Sedan Rafaela? He got four hits, but does that mean he shouldn't be pinch hit for? Like, these are all things that you shouldn't be worried about heading the last week of the season, but he is worrying about. Your thoughts?
Well, the key here, or the reason it matters so much, is because like a manager's call on any of those things, it can be the difference between you going 3-5 and 4-4. It can be the difference between you going 2-6 and 3-5. And depending on how it plays out externally with these other teams. Like, yeah, you're going to need some things to go in your favor, but if you take care of business yourself, like, you're in. If you go 4-4, you're probably in. So control what you can control. If Cora makes the right calls in all those areas, if he knows when to put in Zach Kelly, he knows when he's going to go to Whitlock in a 4-run lead, 5-run lead. Like, I would have been curious to see, because he had Whitlock and Kelly both warming yesterday, and you didn't know because it got to be an 8-run lead. Like, when the decision changed from Whitlock to Kelly. Is it 5 runs? Is it 4 runs? Like, at some point in time, like, you have to manage pretty aggressively, but you also have to keep these guys, because one thing we also saw is this turn through the rotation, Giolito, Bayo, to a lesser extent Crochet, less effective than normal, and maybe it's because they pushed them all up a day to 4 days rest, which was aggressive, but did it hurt you? I don't know. Like, these are all decisions they're making.
Oh. Single time, Gordo gives a take, you should follow it with Ace of Spades. You win some, lose some, and do the same to me. See, that semi-boring rant you just went on?
Oh.
That just, it became next level. Next level.
Sad.
Kylie, weigh in on this, yes or no?
On whether Cora is doing a good job or not?
No. Oh. I don't care about that.
Oh, okay.
Whether or not Ace of Spades just made what Gordo said even better.
Honestly, I think it was missing a scoop of salsa.
Oh! Ace of Spades and a scoop of salsa. No, I wouldn't do that to him. I won't do that to him. Hey, Gordo? I was just kidding. That was not a boy. That was a very thoughtful, insightful.
Yes, you definitely mean that.
I do.
I completely associate
In fairness, the entire time, I was trying to maneuver him playing Ace of Spades.
I know. I could tell. That's why I kept going.
What's up, Sam?
I was just saying, I completely associate the Ace of Spades with you now. Like, I've known the song for a while, but now at this point, it's
how can you not get jacked up? I mean, you guys have done such a good job of getting everyone jacked up and feeling good about themselves heading into this game, heading into the pregame show. And I'll give Kylie you've done a great job of sitting here and also doing trending and being the voice of reason. You're a Seattle Mariners fan. You come from Seattle. Here's your go. 30 seconds. Give me your case for the Seattle Mariners.
My case? They're America's team, man. I mean, we've made the playoffs one time in the last 20 years. It's time to have it happen again. We have a great team full of veterans, also full of some really exciting rookies with Harry Ford coming up and hitting that walk-off about a week and a half ago. Our pitching staff is second to none. There's some question about, you know, Brian Wu's healthiness, but I'm confident that our pitching staff can get him back and healthy. George Kirby is facing against the Houston Astros tonight, so hopefully we can get that win so we can stay in our spot first in the AL West. Oh,
there you go. You lost me at It's America's Team. All right, so finally, we got to get going here in a second. But Gordo, vibes?
I mean, they're coming off a win, so vibes are solid right now. But if they lose and if Cleveland wins, then you're tied for that last spot. That changes right on a dime.
Sammy, vibes?
Vibes are very mediocre, but if they win tonight, it'll be a big swing in the positive direction. Just win. Results.
Joe Braverman, thumbs up, thumb down. Thumb sideways. Wow. There you go. And you know who just won? We're so privileged to have you all here today. Brian, excellent job. We just added to the studio audience for the last minute of the show. My wife, Jen, and our dog, Otis, are both here. Otis the dog.
I need to
meet Otis. Otis, my man.
I've been waiting for this.
Otis, my man.
Oh, he just left.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone who contributed to this. Thank you to Red Sox Jesus / Chad for sharing that story that he had. We're going to post that, and I sincerely hope everybody listens to it because it is a very impactful and powerful story. It gives some really, really good context to his fandom. Gordo, Sammy, Kylie, Joe, Brian, everybody, thank you so much for joining. It's going to be a fun week, man. It's going to be a fun week. Yes or no, Gordo? Fun week?
Yes. Sammy? I'm going to will it to yes.
Will it to yes. McFarland, yes.
McFarland, we'll see you next week.
I'm Kylie with a sweaty upper lip.
I know what athlete jacked is.
And that's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, look at the lineup. It's pathetic.
I feel it. I can feel it. Okay. It is in my mouth.
That's hot.
Yeah, like you bust them inside.
I believe Red Sox Jesus believes.
And WEEI. All
right. All right.
Wow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.